The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the May 2018 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to continue on page 8, Who's Who. Kyrie Irving, point guard, Boston Celtics. Height, 6'3". Weight, 193 pounds. He was born March 23, 1992 in Melbourne, Australia. Through March 13 of his first season with the Celtics, Irving led the team with 24.4 points and 5.1 assists per game. He made the All-Star game for the fifth time in his seven-year career. He earned gold with Team USA at the 2016 Olympics and the 2014 FIBA World Cup, where he was also named tournament MVP. Irving, who played 11 games in his only season at Duke because of a toe injury, made All-America teams for McDonald's and Parade while at St. Patrick High in New Jersey. Question, which team traded Irving to the Celtics? Do 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 do. Did you say Cleveland Cavaliers? You were correct. Next we have Roman Josi, defenseman, Predators. His height is 6'1", his weight is 201 pounds. He was born June 1st, 1990 in Bern, Switzerland. In a game against the Winnipeg Jets in February, Josi had a career-high 5 points, all assists. Since 2014 and 15, he ranks third among all NHL defensemen in points, 2011 through March 13th. Josi, who played in his first All-Star game in 2015-2016, also ranks fifth all-time among Nashville skaters in points, 285. He helped Switzerland win silver at the 2013 World Championships, leading all defensemen in points, 9, and becoming the first player from his country to earn tournament MVP. Question. What is the name of the award that honors the NHL's top defenseman? Do 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 do. Answer, the James Norris Memorial Trophy. And finally for today, Bo Nickal, wrestler, Penn State. Height, 6'2". Weight, 184 pounds. Born January 14, 1996 in Allen, Texas. With his pin of Ohio State's Miles Martin in the 184-pound championship bout at the NCAA tournament, Nickal defended his title and clinched the Nittany Lions' seventh national championship in 8 years. Nickal, the junior, who finished the 2017-2018 season with a 31-0 record, is a three-time All-America and is 90-3 over his career. Before college, he won 3 individual Texas titles and helped Allen High to 4 consecutive team state championships. Question, which school has won the most NCAA wrestling team championships? Do 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 do. Answer, Oklahoma. They've won 34 national championships. Now we'll go to prime time. Page 16, picture here on the left with Darrell Wallace Jr. and a picture of his car number 43. T Team Richard Petty Motorsports. Spotlight. This race car driver, known to all as Bubba, is breaking barriers and making the most of his rookie season as NASCAR's top series. Darrell Wallace Jr. loves fruit roll-ups and gushers. He's a self-taught drummer and photographer. He likes to golf, and oh yeah, he also drives cars at 200 miles per hour on the weekends. The 24-year-old Wallace, who goes by Bubba, got his start in go-karts when he was 9. Now he is in his first full season of competition in NASCAR's top tier, the Monster Energy Cup Series. This February, driving for Richard Petty Motorsports, RPM, he made his first start in the Daytona 500, the sport's most famous and important race. I was so out of focus with all the hype that was around that I honestly didn't know we were halfway through the national anthem until I realized that we were halfway through the national anthem. He recalls with a laugh. He made quite an impression at Daytona. Wallace was second to Austin Dillon by 0.260 of a second, the highest finish by a full-time rookie at the event. It was also the highest finish by an African-American driver in NASCAR's Cup Series since Wendell Scott won a race in 1963. In this year, Wallace has become the first African-American driver since Scott to run a full Cup season. It's cool to see how far the sport has come just from the start of the Daytona 500 and seeing a lot more diverse crowd in the stands, Wallace says. It makes you feel good for sure. It makes you think about how to react to certain situations and represent that spotlight the best way you can. Kid-friendly. Unlike many of the young drivers in NASCAR today, Wallace did not grow up in a racing family. Neither his dad, Darrell Sr., nor his mom, Desiree, was involved with the sport before he showed interest. Bub and his older sister, Brittany, who gave him his nickname, did grow up near Charlotte, North Carolina, NASCAR's hub, and when he was 9, Bubba and his family went to see a friend race go-karts. "We got hooked," recalls Wallace. "We got the bug and went out and bought a go-kart the next weekend. My mom wasn't a huge fan because of the speed, but she quickly became my biggest supporter." Soon after, he was racing Bandolero cars, which looked like miniature stock cars, traveling around North Carolina and to South Carolina and Virginia. "We had a blast," says the outgoing Wallace, who befriended a kid named Ryan Blaney. "Once the races were over with, we'd go back to the hotel and play in the pool." Wallace and Blaney, who are both now in the Cup Series, have remained the best of friends. "It's just been neat to grow up racing each other at every level, at every step," says Blaney. Before the 2016 NASCAR season began, they posted a video of themselves rocking out to heavy metal. Blaney provided the vocals, just making noise, as he puts it, and Wallace, self-taught drummer who received his first hit when he was 11, led the way on percussion. A couple months later, they road-tripped together and documented everything on NASCAR's Snapchat account, doing hilarious impersonations of their fellow drivers, hitting up a fast food drive-thru, and, well, looking like they were still having a blast. Says Blaney, "I think we'd be great friends even if we weren't racing together, just because we like the same things, whether it's music or video games or basketball. Our personalities blend well together, and then we get to do this cool thing on the weekends." Staying on track. So how did Wallace go from being an 11-year-old goofing off around the racetrack and learning how to play the drums to being one of NASCAR's most promising young drivers? He's a good example of perseverance, of knowing. "That is what I want to do, and I'm going to eventually do it," says Drew Blickensdorfer, Wallace's crew chief at RPM. He didn't have anything given to him. He worked hard to be where he is. When Wallace was 16, he debuted in the NASCAR's K&N Pro Series, each winning his first race. In 3 seasons, he won 6 races and had 16 top 5 finishes. He advanced to the Camping World Truck Series, where he drove for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Wallace only won once in his first year, but the next season he won 4 races. He was gaining confidence in himself and in his equipment, and confidence in being able to trust the vehicle and being able to pass other cars, says Bush, the 2015 Cup champion. Wallace also drove in the Xfinity Series and stepping stone to NASCAR's Cup Series. In 2017, he got the call from RPM to fill in for an injured Eric Almirola. "I was trying my best to not make a big deal out of it," Wallace says of his first Cup race. "At the same time, it was still a tryout session for me. I wanted to do everything I could underneath the sun to impress everybody." He stayed out of trouble on the track, and his finishes improved from 26th to 19th to 15th to 11th. With Almirola moving to another team this year, the seat was opened, and it had Wallace's name on it. Now Wallace, who had a top finish over 20th over five races after Daytona, and Blickensderfer are focused on figuring how to get the most out of their car. "For me, it's just been a hard-fought battle, trying to become a well-known driver in the sport and trying to land sponsorships," says Wallace. "I'm trying to add a different spotlight and bring a different attitude to the track. You have to forgive and forget quick and focus on the next race." Who's next in the NASCAR spotlight? A familiar champ, Jeff Gordon, and a fan favorite, Dale Earnhardt Jr., have retired. Much of the talk in the garage is about the sport's next generation of drivers. Here are five other youngsters you should know. Ryan Blaney. Blaney pretty much rocked 2017. In addition to voicing Ryan inside Blaney in the animated movie Cars 3, he won his first Cup race at Pocono and had 14 top tens. Over the first six races of 2018, the 24-year-old had four top tens. Austin Dillon. The 2013 Xfinity Series champ drives for his grandfather, Richard Childress's team, and is in his fifth full season of the Cup racing. Dillon, 28, opened his season in grand fashion, winning the 2018 Daytona 500, his second win in NASCAR's top series. Chase Elliott. His dad, Bill Elliott, was named most popular driver a record 16 times. The younger Elliott is following in dad's footsteps. Chase earned the honor in the Xfinity Series in 2014, the year he was champ, and in 2015. A full-time Cup racer since 2016, he's had 23 top fives. Kyle Larson. This California kid broke out in 2017, his fourth Cup season, reaching victory lane four times, nabbing 15 top fives, tied for second, and making the playoffs. Larson, 25, began his year with two top fives in the season's first six races. And finally, Daniel Suarez. In 2016, Suarez won three Xfinity races and the series championship, becoming the first Mexican-born driver to win a national NASCAR race. Last year, he made the jump to Cup racing full-time, earning a top five at Watkins Glen. Moving on to football. Anyone who has seen Shaquan Griffin play football knows he has everything he needs to succeed. The linebacker flies all over the field, wrapping up ball carriers, hounding quarterbacks, and blanketing receivers. He's strong, fast, and dedicated. He's what scouts might call an amazing physical specimen, but not a perfect one. Shaquem does not have a left hand. When he was in his mother's womb, a membrane wrapped around the hand, which didn't develop properly as a result. After Shaquem was born, he had a hand but no use of it. Any contact with it resulted in agonizing pain. He has only one hand, but linebacker Shaquem Griffin is the complete package. He's all ready to take his game to the next level. Look out, NFL. Finally, when he was four, his parents decided that the only way to make the pain go away was to have Shaquem's hand amputated. The day after he woke up from the surgery, Shaquem and his twin brother, Shaquille, who is 1 minute older, went to daycare. Their mom, Tangi, told Shaquem to keep his bandage clean, which meant no football. When Tangi picked them up, his bandage was a bloody mess, and Shaquem had a football in his hand. Says Shaquille, "You could see this huge smile on his face." reason to smile. Nearly two decades later, Shaquem is still grinning. In January, he said, "You'll never see me coming around the corner not smiling. I mean, I enjoy every moment. I've been to a point where I didn't know if I was going to play football again." When Shaquem said that, he was at the Senior Bowl, a showcase event for some of the country's top pro hopefuls. It's a chance for them to show NFL scouts what they can do, and Shaquem took advantage. Despite the fact that he had been named the American Athlete Conference Defensive Player of the Year in 2016 and won the Defensive MVP Award in the 2018 Peach Bowl at his Central Florida Knights top Auburn, Shaquem hadn't been invited to the NFL Scouting Combine. So at the Senior Bowl, he put on a show. The 6'1", 227-pounder played everywhere, on the defensive line, at linebacker, even in the secondary. He was named the top player in practice for the week, and he earned himself an invitation to the combine, where he'd have an even better chance to demonstrate what he is capable of. His performance at the Senior Bowl was nothing compared with what he had did at the combine in Indianapolis. First, he ran the 40-yard dash in a blistering 4.38 seconds. That was the same time Shaquille, a cornerback who was taken in the third round last year by the Seattle Seahawks, had run. Shaquem redshirted the season at Central Florida, so he had one more year of eligibility than his brother. That's even more impressive when you consider that Shaquille was 33 pounds lighter than Shaquem when they ran their 40s. Shaquem's time was the fastest by a linebacker at the combine since 2003. But NFL coaches are looking for players who are fast and strong. The next day, Shaquem did the bench press. His goal was to press the 225-pound weight 6 times. He ended up doing 20, a personal best. That was 6 more reps than beefy offensive lineman Orlando Brown, a projected first-round pick. And it was a reminder of how far Shaquem had come. A mad scientist. When he was growing up, lifting weights was hard. Without a left hand, Shaquem couldn't grip the bar. So his dad, Terry, built all sorts of contraptions to help his son work out. Like a mad scientist, Tangi said, there was a device they named the book that attached to Shaquem's forearm when he did the bench press. He used a similar prosthetic at the combine. Throughout his childhood, Shaquem worked hard to do the same things that kids with two hands did. He learned to tie his shoes before his brother by using his left wrist to push the knot against his leg. Football was no different. When he was 12, Shaquem decided he wanted to play running back. Terry told him he'd have to prove that he could hold on to the ball as defenders tried to strip it from him. "We were probably out there for 30 minutes, Shaquille says. "My dad was swinging my brother around in the air. He had the ball. He was holding on, and my dad was tossing him everywhere. He never let go." When it came time to pick a college, Shaquille and Shaquem decided they only wanted to go to a school that would offer both of them a scholarship. The twins ended up at Central Florida, where they struggled through a 0-12 season in 2015. George O'Leary, the coach who recruited them, retired and was replaced by Scott Frost. The new coach was bowled over by Shaquem's dedication. Before a game against Houston in 2016, Shaquem broke his right hand. He was afraid the coaches wouldn't let him play, so he tore off his cast. Frost told him he could play as long as he wore a soft cast. Shaquem then went out and racked up 14 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and a fumble recovery, and an interception. "I've played football one-handed," he says. "I played football with no hands." But he's never used having only one hand as an excuse. A lot of people in our generation like to make excuses about little things that really don't hinder them from doing what they want to do, he says. "It always comes down to the work ethic. God put you on the earth for a purpose. I feel like my purpose is to get away from people making excuses." At UCF home games, Shaquem welcomed kids from a company called Limitless Solutions, which uses 3D printers to make prosthetic limbs. He had a message for them. "It's not what you're missing, it's what you have that matters. If I keep doing what I'm doing, it's going to create a better future for someone else," he says. It just goes on and on. "Maybe I can help this kid who can help another kid who can help 1,000 kids later." And as not just kids who have been inspired by Shakem. After his performance at the Combine, several current and former pros tweeted about the kid who dazzled fans and scouts alike. Former All-Pro linebacker DeMarcus Ware wrote, "That's crazy. You see, when you don't see set limitations on yourself, no matter the circumstances, there's no limit to what you can achieve. You got my vote." J.J. Watt of the Texans said simply, "Shaquem Griffin killing it." But it was Ian Williams, a former 49ers lineman, who probably put it best. "Everyone, please, remove can't from your vocabulary." Next, we have an advertisement, Shelter Pet and Life for the Party. Amazing stories start in shelters and rescues. Adopt today to start yours. Start a story. Adopt the Shelter Pet Project.org. Poster Face Off. Max Scherzer, pitcher of the Washington Nationals, versus Todd Gurley, running back of the Los Angeles Rams. Age. Max Scherzer is 33. Todd Gurley is 23. Height and weight. Max Scherzer is 6'3", 215 pounds. Todd Gurley is 6'1", 227 pounds. Hometown. Max Scherzer from Chesterfield, Missouri. Todd Gurley is from Tarboro, North Carolina. Nickname. Max Scherzer, Blue Eye. Scherzer is heterochromatic. That means his eyes are different colors. The right one is blue and the left one is brown. When players were allowed to pick a nickname to go on their jerseys for Players Weekend, Scherzer went with Blue Eye. Todd Gurley's nickname? The Todd Father. Gurley got the nickname from the Rams special teamers when he was a rookie. Other teammates call him Carl's Jr., after the burger restaurant that Gurley endorses. Fantasy football for a cause. Scherzer? Among Scherzer's many charitable works was launching a chapter of Big League Impact in Washington, D.C. The program uses fantasy football to raise money for charity. Todd Gurley? Gurley put up 276 total points in the 2017 season finale, a performance that won fantasy championships for many players who owned him. Several thanked Gurley by donating money to his favorite charity, Shriners Hospitals for Children. More than $10,000 was raised. Film fact. Max Scherzer, he said he would watch Happy Gilmore every single day. Todd Gurley, favorite actor, is Denzel Washington. Nice start. For Scherzer, retired all 13 hitters he faced in his major league debut in 2007. Todd Gurley, despite rushing for just 9 yards in his first game, set an NFL record by totaling 566 yards on the ground in his first 4 career games. And finally, Sweet Tooth. Told ESPN, "I can't eat dessert because as soon as I have one, I have 5, and then I have 10. Todd Gurley, so well known for eating Jolly Ranchers that fans threw them on the field when he was in college. Highlights. Career highlights, Todd Max Scherzer. In 2017, after going 16-6 with a 2.51 ERA, Scherzer won his third Cy Young Award and second in a row. The first came with the Detroit Tigers in 2013. The hard-throwing righty led the league with 268 strikeouts in 202-thirds innings. Scherzer was the starting pitcher for the National League in the All-Star game, and he even had a good year at the plate. On August 1st, he hit his first career home run. In 2015, Scherzer signed with the Nationals as a free agent before the season, agreeing to a 7-year, $2,010 million deal. He threw a pair of no-hitters, becoming just the 6th pitcher in big league history to toss 2 no-nos in the same season. In 2008, 2 years after the Arizona Diamondbacks drafted him out of the University of Missouri in the first round, Scherzer made his major league debut. He moved into the Diamondbacks' rotation in 2009, but was traded to the Tigers following that season. That's Washington Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer. Highlights for Todd Gurley, Los Angeles Rams running back. Career highlights, 2017, Gurley made the Pro Bowl for the second time in his three-year career. He rushed for 1,305 yards and 13 touchdowns as the Rams went 11-5 and made the playoffs for the first time since 2004. Gurley also added 788 receiving yards, giving him a league-best 2,093 yards from scrimmage. In 2015, despite the fact that Gurley tore his ACL late in the 2014 college season, the Rams drafted him 10th overall. Gurley missed the first two games of his rookie season as his knee healed, but he still ran for 1,106 yards and 10 touchdowns. In 2012, as a freshman at Georgia, Gurley rushed for 100 yards on just 8 carries in his first game against Buffalo. He also returned a kickoff 100 yards for a touchdown against the Bulls. Gurley, who finished the season with 1,385 yards, became just the second freshman in school history to eclipse the 1,000-yard barrier. Advertisement, pictures of birds, people, campsites, streaming, selfie, search results. Connected. Find a park or forest near you at discovertheforest.org. End zone. What's the call? 1. A score to settle. The Riverdale Bulldogs are playing the Greendale Cats in baseball under Major League Baseball rules. You're the official scorer. During the second inning, Riverdale shortstop Archie Letterman comes up to bat with the man on first base and no outs. Letterman hits a line drive that falls in front of Greendale right fielder Reggie Green. The runner on first rounds second and tries to advance to third base. Letterman originally holds up at first, but when Green throws to third in an attempt to get the lead runner, Letterman successfully advances to second. The next day, he reads the newspaper and notices you only awarded him a single, despite his reaching second base. He calls you to complain. Did you get it wrong? Do, 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 do. Answer, what's the call? No, you're right. Letterman only gets credit for the single. He advanced to second base on the throw. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or question, please call 919-832-5138.